playa y en el mar se refugió. Cambia que lleva en su canto el sabor de
shine so bright within your eyes. It's a sun that just keeps my heart burning.
I used to copy, flip the profit. My plugs connected like extensions. My life a socket with many electrical dimensions. Abundant shocking. You're still finger roll your pocket searching for a dollar. How childish, this the mouth.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. I'm your host, George Wacker, and today we're talking with three acts who are all part of this year's Live in the Garden series in Bethlehem: Sir Dominique Jordan, Mariposas Galacticas, and Woodflower. Live in the Garden in Bethlehem returns for its fifth season at the Bethlehem Rose Garden this spring and summer, and these artists are part of this year's lineup. This conversation is tied to Next Stage PA, which is a statewide artist development initiative led by the Chamber Foundation of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and supported through the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's Creative Catalyst Grant Program. It's a paid, hands-on program built to help emerging artists grow from local performers into more tour-ready artists through performance opportunities, mentorship, and professional development in areas like branding, marketing, and a bunch of stuff that we're going to talk about today. Before we start, I want to thank our sponsors who allow us to do episodes like this. WDIY 88.1 FM, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernardin of Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, and our friends at Banco Beverage Company. And let's get into it. I want to first introduce our bands here. So if we could start with Daniel, we have three representatives from Mariposas Galacticas. So Daniel, if you could introduce yourself and your band members here and tell us a little bit about the band.
Cool. My name is Daniel. I play bass for Mariposas Galacticas. Mariposas Galacticas is a project that started 3 years ago, and it was a very organic growth from just a single party, although I believe Ariel has had more of a plan into it, but it just sort of started snowballing from one party to one festival to another concert, and then we built a really nice community, and I think we filled the space that was needed in Philadelphia, and then we figured out that it's the same thing all over the cities that we have visited. So we're very glad that we have built a community that really understands what we're trying to put out and the message that we're trying to convey.
Yeah, and we're going to get more into that, your performance and everything in a minute. Sir Dominique, if you could kind of enlighten us a little bit with what you're all about.
Peace and blessings. First off, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to be in a space with you all. And big shout out to Next Stage PA for the opportunity as well. So my name is Sir Dominique Jordan. I'm a spoken word poet, hip hop artist, independent artivist, as I like to say. Based in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, kind of have a footprint in the York, Pennsylvania area, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area as well. But I'm just honored to be able to be a part of an initiative like this, learn from it, and hopefully also connect with other, you know, like-minded creatives that are doing special things with their expression.
Yeah, and last but certainly not least, west of Woodflower, which is bluegrass. So it's not like this is such a wide array of music. Wes, can you tell us a little bit about Woodflower?
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, I'm Wes, guitar player and vocalist for Woodflower. We are a five-piece bluegrass band. So we have a banjo player, a mandolin, two guitar players, and an upright bass. So all acoustic instruments, which fits well with the, you know, the bluegrass genre. We've been playing together for going on, you know, 4.5 years now. And you know, we're keeping busy, and you know, have a lot of exciting stuff. You know, I'm super excited to be part of this program too.
Sure. Well, let's get right into where it all comes about. There are a lot of people how does your band even begin? And Daniel, I think you kind of alluded to a little bit how Ariel kind of started this. So maybe I can ask her, what was the beginning for Mariposas Galacticas? Because when you take a look at this band, if you look them up on YouTube and whatnot, when you get a chance to see them, there's so much going on. So where does the seed come from? And we'll start with you guys.
Yeah, we started, like Danny said, 3 years ago. It started originally as getting together a group of people, most of whom had never played together, for a birthday party in West Philadelphia. And I think it wasn't the exact intention at the time, but definitely I had some dreams that the group would eventually become a band, but I never thought or dreamed that it would become as much of a band as it has today. The origin story for all of us is that in our group, we play a mixture of three different musical styles. We play cumbia, which is a style of music from Latin America that's heard, you know, in different forms all throughout the continent, as well as Central America and the Caribbean. And we play klezmer, which is a style of music from the Jewish diaspora, sort of like Balkan style music from Eastern Europe. And mm-hmm. we also add in punk music to kind of like fuse it all together. So really the story of how the band forms is kind of just the story of our individual members' journey, playing these musical styles, a lot of which comes from our own like family's histories.
Right.
So we're all, you know, it's a project where we're exploring really like the kinds of music that we and also our families and our ancestors grew up listening to, and also adding our own touch, based on our own experiences here. So yeah, like Danny said, that ended up, you know, being something that a lot of people have connected with, and it's been sort of the motor that's powered the band's growth.
So many, like, there's so many cultures entwined. It's so fun just to see it kind of unravel when you're watching some of your performances, at least what I've seen. Wes, I don't want to say bluegrass is unusual. It's not. There's so many like wonderful bluegrass bands, but it's interesting to, like, you're a new bluegrass band out there. So talk a little bit about, you know, your, how did you guys meet up? How did you find a shared love of this music?
Yeah, so I got into bluegrass from the other guitar player, Gabe Delp. We went to high school together, and so we played gigs together, you know, pretty much right out of high school. And, you know, we started out playing, you know, classic rock and, you know, like Jim Croce and James Taylor, stuff like that, sure. Which all great stuff. But he told me, like, Wes, I want you to try this bluegrass song, and, like, I'll warn you, like, if you get the bluegrass bug, like, you're not going to be able to lose it. Like, you'll have it forever. Mm-hmm. And, he was very right about that. And so, funny enough, I remember that, you know, my guitar teacher from when I was young, his name's Josh Skierman, has played in a couple bluegrass groups and was a big bluegrass fan. So I reached out to him to, you know, see what he was up to. And so we got together. He introduced me to banjo player Michael. And we all kind of hit it off. We all had like similar tastes and what we thought was like, you know, real good bluegrass music. And then recently we got Quinn Fisher from Serene Green to kind of be our
okay.
So.
Yeah. I actually know that band. I know I've seen Serene Green play.
Yeah.
They're
super, super awesome band. That played all pretty much everywhere around PA. So yeah.
I see. And you guys have been since like 2022, right?
Yeah. That's when I reached out to Josh, and that's when he introduced me to Michael. That's kind of when we all got together and, you know, started like saying, like, let's turn this into a project, you know?
Sure. And Dominique, you're slightly different in the fact that you're a solo act, but kind of talk about your genesis of becoming a performer.
For sure. Well, for starters, like I mentioned, I like to identify as an artivist, in some capacity, inspire listeners, audience members, just like-minded community that want to do something with their stories, with their culture, with mm-hmm. their art in some capacity that helps to change the course of what society looks like today. And my community in Lancaster is really, really big on, you know, just championing art in a lot of unique ways, if you want to say. Like, for instance, right, earlier today, I was painting a piano. Lancaster is known as like the street piano capital of the world, right? So like we have these pianos that are all over downtown that just kind of give people access to be able to play piano or do something that they probably wouldn't have growing up. And I feel like that's the type of stuff that has always inspired me to be able to step outside of, you know, my comfort zone and just do what I can with my art. Born and raised listening to hip hop. So of course, that's a huge part of what I do. My mom was an educator. So like she always, you know, inspired me to use my voice and always told me, you know, if I don't tell my story, somebody else is going to tell it for me.
When you're talking about brand identity, can you kind of tell me a little bit about how that takes shape? So I know, Daniel, you had said that Ariel does tackle some of that, but like even Wes, when you're starting the band, like do you guys decide, how'd you come up with the name? You know, how do you kind of sit around and make those decisions?
Yeah, it's definitely something we all, you know, talk about and we all, you know, like to come to an agreement on and compromise about. The name Woodflower was a bit, like I said, the bass player, Josh Skirbin, who was my guitar teacher. He's big on, you know, naming bands himself. He has like a giant list of names. And he said that, and Michael, it clung to Michael, and, you know, I liked it too. And so it seemed like a name that fit well with the genre. I can't really explain why. I guess maybe wood with like wood instruments, but we like the name. And so we kind of stuck with it in that way. The logo too, we kind of all took stabs at iterations and it's gone through different changes. You know, I'm sure if you go on like our Instagram page, you can see like different versions of what that logo has gone through. But yeah, it's kind of like been a combined effort to get that. You know, it's been a little bit trickier with like getting something that everyone likes. But yeah, at the end of the day, we have a logo that we're, and you know, marketing stuff that we're pretty happy with. So.
Yeah, and just continuing on, I know that Ariel and Dominique are popping back in here. We were talking about like how you do kind of art and how you start the direction of logos and stuff like that. So I don't know if somebody from Mariposas wants to talk a little bit about like how does the band name come about? How do you guys, you go from a birthday party to we got to come up with a logo and marketing. There's stuff in between there, right? So talk a little bit about that.
Does Gary?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm still at my job, but
No, yeah. It's okay.
yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of my side of the, you know, visual and graphic side of you know, coming from, you know, punk rock and skateboarding and graffiti and tattooing and all these different like art forms that, you know, kind of put my little spin on it when you know, the band kind of came up with a name and a concept as far as like Ariel was saying, not just like a party band anymore. And they just kind of wanted to expand into like a real group. And so, you know, taking the name and then combining it with Maria, the lead singer, you know, she's from Ecuador and my family's from Ecuador too. And Danny and his brother are from Peru, who are also in the band. So it's like combining those themes of you know, the Andes mountains and then having the eye in the logo is from is actually Maria's eye, the singer. You know, combine that with the skull, which is kind of like that punk rock vibe or that kind of like hardcore vibe. You know, so it's basically like, you know, the same thing that I grew up on was like, you know, you see that kind of Misfits logo everywhere. Like even people that don't know the Misfits was a punk rock band, they still see that logo and they know like, oh, I know about the Misfits, right? So I feel like
definitely, know, like it's a vibe.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, even people that don't know about it, they still kind of want to find out what it is, you know. And I think that's kind of what I learned, you know, being in bands where it was always DIY or just kind of low budget, and you kind of have to learn, you know, how to catch people's eye or whatever. And you got to be able to see it from across the street or on a big banner or on a flyer or whatever.
Right.
So that's kind of how, you know, that logo developed. And then once we came up with the first few sketches of it, I think, you know, we realized like, you know, that's going to be great on a t-shirt or, you know, a poster or whatever. So, you know, I think it takes time to like, kind of like Danny said, let it unfold organically and not necessarily like force it out, you know?
and kind of going on the same kind of coin of that, when you are going out to maybe promote a show and you're using that art, you're using those flyers, I want to talk a little bit about what are some of the main avenues you're actually using. You know, obviously we're doing a podcast today, but what are you guys doing? Danny, you said like, hey, we might be heading up to Montreal in the future, or you're at a gig tonight, you know, like what types of ways are you getting the word out? Social media included, but are there anything else, like any other tips and tricks that you're doing?
I mean, I think for us, what's been really key in growing our shows and growing the amount of people that come to see us is to really, I mean, for us, it's really all about community. We've been really lucky to connect musically and the message with a lot of different people, a lot of different communities. And you know, when we started first playing a mix of cumbia and klezmer, just out of being us, you know, like that's the music that we play. You know, half of us are Latin American and half of us have Jewish ancestries. So it was just the music that came natural to us. And then when October 7th happened, and then we decided to like sort of take a more political stance and take a more, you know, like sort of go, you know, like double down and be like, well, you know, fuck this. And I think we've been able to grow a community. And like, I've been seeing this, like, you know, we started seeing the same kind of people and the same people responding to our message. And I think that's been a great addition to our band. It's almost like the extra, like the community is more of like the extra member of our band. I mean, when we play shows in Baltimore, we play shows in DC, we play shows in New York, Vermont, you know, whatever we play, mm-hmm. it's always this community of people that want to come and sort of like get the message that they come and they see us and they're like, this is a great message, this is a great party band. We come, we dance, we, you know, like we feel liberated, we feel like we're listened to and like a place to just scream and enjoy and all this kind of like terrible things that are happening in the world. And I feel like that sense of community has really translated into bigger crowds that just want to come and see it for themselves, you know, kind of like this big party that also lets us scream out and, you know, and I think that's been really key. Outside of like, you know, I think we have a really good, we really take into account how we present ourselves, how we mm-hmm. try to have the best sound, try to have the best, you know, the artistic direction, have something uniform. But I really do believe that it's the sense of community that we've been able to foster around our fans that really has helped us.
Yeah. And Dominique, you're around community as well. It's a big part of your social media going through there. What are some of the ways that you are promoting the shows that you're doing, obviously in Lancaster, but then when you're traveling as well?
That's a great question. I'd say, you know, being a multi-genre kind of artist or multi-discipline artist, it's definitely cool to see like the crossover between like poets, hip hop community, you know, visual artists, all different types of mediums. But basically, you know, I try my best to just stay busy. You know, in a sense, I'm a educator by day, artivist by night. So a lot mm-hmm. of the work that I do is also with, you know, young people and being a mentor, a creative mentor to them. So whether that's college students, high school students. So when I'm doing shows of all ages or I'm traveling to a community, you know, I at least try to get connected with some type of community center or school I could go in, chat with, talk to kind of encourage some of those folks to come out or their parents to come out or, you know, things of the sort like that. But then at the same time, you know, just push myself to like think outside the box. Like, so for instance, I have a show this weekend called the Living Poetry Museum. And like, it's a very, very different thing that I haven't been able to step into as much, but I'm basically playing Muhammad Ali and like a monologue-esque/ poetry performance. And just doing stuff like that puts me in a totally different box or bucket than the stuff that I'm typically creating myself. So yeah, it's definitely been fun to just try new things and meet new people.
Yeah, and kind of flowing into that, I'm going to bring up what we're talking about promoting, and you can kind of answer that too, Wes. With social media, are you guys finding that some social media channels are really worth your time and some aren't, or where are you finding success? I'll start with Wes. Like, is that part of your promotion strategy?
Yeah, I'd say we're definitely we have, you know, the places that we make sure we post on, you know, Facebook is really the biggest one for us, I think, with our demographic for bluegrass. It's usually a older crowd. So mm-hmm. a lot of them use Facebook as ways of finding us and figure out where we're playing. We have our website, but I think we get the most interactions from Facebook for sure.
Sure. And then for Mariposas, do you guys, like, what are you social media wise finding success on your end?
Ariel, I think we just basically do Instagram. I think that's where we get most of our, you know, either through Instagram or sort of like
Bandcamp. And like, yeah. I want to talk about streaming, right? Because like for my side as a consumer of music, I'm using Spotify daily, right? But I'm trying to justify it in my mind, like, oh, if I can purchase something from that band, it kind of is a ticket for me to be able to listen to their music. What are your thoughts on streaming? Is it like a necessary evil? Are you like, get this the heck out of here? I don't want anything to do with it. As a artist of your stature, what do you think?
I think it depends on folks' goals.
Okay, go ahead. Elaborate on that. No, you're good. Yeah, we'll get back to Daniel's side. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that, Daniel. But yeah, I think it just depends on your goals. You know what I mean? Like if your goals are to be reached in a certain type of population or demographic, like if you really want people singing along to the song, then providing people with some of that access, I think it's important. But I think there's also like a tons of misconceptions, and that's kind of why the streaming business has kind of turned into such a nasty world, because of the misconceptions. Like I work with a lot of hip hop artists and I stream through United Masters. So like there's a lot of, you know, opportunities, if you want to say, if you're making a certain amount of money or getting a certain amount of streams that you could present yourself for United Masters. But then there's a lot of artists that are coming up underneath the wing of some of the era or I don't know, class of artists that I've worked with that are using United Masters, but they don't really understand like how to use it. Like, for example, you could have a million people use your song, not a million, but you could have a decent amount of your friends use your song on Instagram, right? And you think like, mm-hmm. wow, like this is going to make my plays go up. But you don't get paid off of every time somebody uses your song in a story or on a reel, unless you opt in to do that. You actually got to pay per track to do that. A lot of people don't know that. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get everybody and their mom to promote my new song, but I didn't realize that I wasn't making money every time that song plays unless I opt in to pay for it. You know, so it all really just depends. It's apples and oranges. But I definitely love this new push for direct to consumer. I don't really know how much I mean, I got stuff on Bandcamp, even a couple other things, but I don't really know how much I like truly believe in, like, it's technically direct to consumer, because we do got to break them off eventually. But physical media, physical merchandise, like, let's get back to the basics and, you know, build that true relationship with some of the artists and audience members. I think people are loving that right now. So, but I'm curious to see what y'all think too.
Yeah, I want to hear from Westy, but Danny first, if you want to talk a little bit, your thoughts on stream.
I believe, like, when we started this, like, I was kind of like vehemently against streaming. I mean, there's pros and cons to streaming, and we, you know, like, we could talk until I'm blue in the face.
Sure.
But I do believe that streaming does devalue music. The ease of having all the music at access to you all the time, I think it does, like. Sure, there's a lot of pros to it, but like I think it does devalue the amount of like the artistic value of music, and that's what we put out an album late last year, and we only put it on Bandcamp, and we actually have physical CDs that we sell, you know, at our shows, and I feel people like that a little bit more. You know, people like to see the physical aspect of it, and maybe if there's one extra step into people that want to listen to a music, I think, like, because it takes that a little bit extra work into just not going to Spotify, and we're like another one of the 10 million bands that are on Spotify, half of them are AI.
Yeah.
And that it does take, it makes it a little more special to like find out the, you know, and then we have all the credits and who did, you know, all the other stuff, and we have artwork, and we try to do it like, you know, I mean, like, I used to buy CDs when I was, you know, younger. So I think that there's a special thing to that, you know, and so we've seen a lot of success with the CDs that we buy, that we sell on our shows, and the CDs that we sell online.
Sure. And Wes, I mean, you talked about having a little bit of an older demographic. That demographic enjoys physical media, but I'm sure they stream too. So, like, how's your approach been to it?
Yeah, I think all of us share similar views to, you know, what Daniel and, you know, Sir Dominic were saying with, you know, but, you know, if we kind of do view it like, you know, it's just like you kind of have to do it. You pay your dues with streaming. You got to have something out on there for people to look up. But, you know, we also have our CDs, and, you know, we've had to order more CDs because they're popular. And, you know, like you said, our demographic, I think, you know, once CDs, once physical media, once, you know, something, you know, that they can hold, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that being said, we still, you know that, you know, for some places they're looking on, you know, streaming service to see if we're there and see our presence on there as well. So, you know,
Don't you find, like, some booking places too, like, they need to see your social media, right? That's the first thing they want to see. So that's kind of like, you almost like you're compelled. You have to do some of that side to it. I wanted to, when you guys are talking about, we're talking about streaming, but like when you put out an album or you're putting out a new album on Bandcamp or something like that, I have begun to see from the artists I follow, they're putting out like one song at a time, or they're doing like a little bit more energy on like an individual single. Are you guys going that far as to strategize like upcoming albums and like releasing songs one at a time? Has like technology changed any of that?
Yes. I would definitely say yes. I mean, from last year moving into this year, I had a mixtape I was working on with my good friend Jason 83, and a very good tape. Shout out to those folks. We've cultivated something really special. We're like, you know, we want to put this out in the world, but like Jason was really big on this, like, yo, screw the streaming, let's figure out another route. But we ultimately came together on and compromised on, how about, you know, we have it streamed for a certain amount of time, but then eventually we put like an extended version on Bandcamp, or we also released cassette tapes, like legit physical mixtapes with cassette players. So it eliminates the barrier of them not being able to play it. So we did a cool release show in January for that, and it was dope, and it's been really cool ever since. But what I've been trying to do is cultivate my songs and align them with some either local businesses or movements or nonprofits or folks that are doing stuff that are similar in that line of work, and then kind of just, you know, figuring out a happy medium between that. So I got a song that I just released a few months back called Laces. It's basically a tutorial teaching kids how to tie their shoes. I also became a brand ambassador for Super Shoes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Super Shoes, cool department store based around Pennsylvania and a couple other areas. Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, put that song out to kind of like get some of those new consumers that are seeing me based off of the Super Shoes content,
right,
and getting them to tap in with a wholesome song that means a lot to me. So definitely, you know, it's apples and oranges with that too. Like, you got to figure out what your goals are and then just shoot for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. The Live in the Garden, I have purchased a cassette tape from a band there, and I've purchased a vinyl from a band there. So there's definitely like an opportunity, like there's that vibe for it too. I kind of wanted to go a different avenue here. Have you gotten any advice that you didn't take and you're happy that you didn't take it, or something along those lines that, wow, you know, I'm thinking of like a band, like a younger band coming up, and they're like, I don't know. Do you guys have any stories like that? It's okay. If not, I can move on to the next one, which would be, I'm curious what you guys are listening to before we go, and we're going to promote each one of your shows and everything coming up. Obviously we want to listen to you guys, but do you have any local or, you know, national music that you can recommend to us? And maybe I'll start with Wes. I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I'm always trying to listen to, I'm relatively new to bluegrass, you know, that's kind of those, that's when Woodflower started, and I was only about, 6 months into it at that point. So there's still so much I don't know. So there's still so much I have to, years and, decades and decades of bluegrass I need to listen to and catch up on. So, trying to do that in my time, but also seeing the direction it's going in, artists like, Billy Strings and Molly Tuttle, how they're kind of, evolving that genre and turning it into bringing in I think a brand new demographic of people who had never heard of bluegrass music, and myself included into that. So that's a lot of stuff I'm listening to now, is trying to catch up on the great Tony Rice stuff and the great Bill Monroe, and while also keeping track of what new stuff is coming out too.
You have your work cut out for you. I'll recommend one band to you. I went to high school with this guy. These guys, but they're in Texas now. They're called Sour Bridges, and they are a bluegrass band. I think you would probably enjoy at least a few of their songs. So
I'll check it out. Check Sour Bridges. I will.
Yeah. Daniel, who have you been listening to? Anybody that?
There's this new, for the past maybe five years. There's been a new movement of cumbia. I think the new psychedelic cumbia really has been moving forward. There's this, all these waves of cumbia, the first wave in the 60s and 70s, 80s. And I think recently there's been this kind of new wave of cumbia that's been more into the psychedelic and more into the extended instrumental passages. And there's a lot of bands like Sol Rompepera, Tropa Mágica, Sonido Gallo Negro. A lot of these bands that are coming out of Mexico and Latin America that are sort of, in my opinion, bringing the cumbia movement forward and changing it. And now cumbia is no longer just a Latin American thing, but now it's even seen in the United States with people who are first generation or second generation, that are rediscovering all these older albums, but now they're filtering those grooves through, psychedelia of the 80s and 90s that people grew up with. So that's been very interesting to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talk about having music all the time. The one positive that is you can listen to anything, right? If you're hey, you don't have to dig through all these vinyls, but this definitely, Dominique, what are you listening to recently?
For starters, it's outside of us building our own tour. It's tour season for everybody, right? Even for national acts. So me and my lady are actually going to see a lot of cool shows over the summer. So cool artists. He's not national. He's more international, based in the London area. More of an Afrobeats R&B artist named ODL. I listen to a lot of his music. Very inspired by his stuff. Brent Faiyaz, incredible music. Hip hop acts like J. Cole dropped a phenomenal album, Chance the Rapper's album from last year. Wale, going to go see him live as well. So definitely getting in tune with some of those folks. But then also, getting back to the basics of the essence of hip hop. One of my young mentees just put me on to an older Mos Def album that I've probably heard tons of singles off the album, but never really listened to it all the way through. Trying to get in tune with that type of stuff. Like I mentioned about the Muhammad Ali project. So I've been listening to his album as well, which is a very unique and eclectic sound. I've been trying to, stay rooted in the stuff that keeps me inspired. Try to keep the nonsense out as much as possible because there's a lot of diluted stuff in the hip hop space. Definitely some good stuff.
And we're excited to hear all of you guys at Live in the Garden. My last question for you is going to be what to expect. But before we get there, I just want to reiterate. So Live in the Garden in Bethlehem's Rose Garden on May 16th, it's Sir Dominique and Mariposas. So you guys are playing your opening and for Mariposas Galacticas. And on June 6th, Woodflower is playing with 12 String. So I know we had you introduce yourselves a little bit, but Wes, can you tell us what the crowd can expect from Woodflower at Live in the Garden?
Yeah, I think you'll get a mix of some traditional bluegrass, but you'll get a mix of a lot of stuff that we wrote ourselves. We're always kind of writing new material. You'll get an idea of, you know, the improvisation in bluegrass, but you also get like the three-part harmonies. So, you know, it's, you know, a lot of talented guys on the stage. So it's you know, it should be a lot of fun.
Right. And Dominique, you said you're like a mix of hip hop, spoken word. What are we looking at?
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to, you know, bringing the necessary, you know, build up energy for the headlining act. So hoping that, you know, I'm glad I got to hear Daniel speak about, you know, the inspiration of yeah. some of your music, because I hope that I can get people, I don't want to say in their feels, but at least like thinking critically about the world around them. And then hopefully they can dance all that pain away after the fact. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, just jamming, bringing a well-rounded set that allows people to you know, come together, really be honest with themselves and ultimately learn something to have fun. So definitely excited about it. It's only my second time ever performing in Bethlehem. So definitely excited to come back and jam with you guys.
It's awesome. And Daniel, what we're going to, you can check our show notes. We're going to link to videos and stuff. And we're going to make sure everyone has a chance to listen to the music. And Mariposa's Galactus is amazing. You have to watch some YouTube videos to really get a sense. I'm so looking forward to it. But can you kind of give us a little bit of what we can expect?
We're looking forward to Exercise on Demons. You know, I think we've made it here in Dystopia. And Dystopia is definitely well and running. But like we like to remind people that they're still dancing. They're still... You know, and we do provide a space where people can, like, you know, sort of like escape all that and sort of like scream out their frustrations and sort of like have a sense of community and have a sense of, hey, you know what? Like, all these things are happening in the world, but we're still here and we're still jumping and we're still dancing and we're still screaming and joy.
I guess we need music more than ever, right? And it's amazing that you guys are all doing like the same thing from different genres and different places, but it's all going to that same place. And we're lucky to have you guys. I get to like, I can walk and see all your performances. Like, it's seriously super cool. We're looking forward to all of that. For anybody who's interested, we're going to have all of their links in our show notes. So you can be sure to find them on their websites or social media. I want to thank everybody who joined us here. So Daniel and Gary and Ariel and Sir Dominique and Wes, I really appreciate you taking some time so that we can learn a little bit more about how you guys came to be and how you're doing all this. And then we can promote the show, and we're looking forward to it. We've been lucky. I've been part of the Live in the Garden for 5 years, and every year it's been getting better, and I think this year is going to be no exception. So
thank you so much.
Thank you We're looking forward to seeing the community in Bethlehem.
We can't wait. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And Gary, thank you for joining from work. I like, that's dedication. You're the man. I can't wait to meet all you guys.
Thanks for having us. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Hey, can I add one more tidbit in there?
There's absolutely a question that you asked
earlier that we didn't answer. And I just thought about it, right? If there's any young artists watching this, young artists, old artists, person that's just finding their voice, right? Bet on yourself. Trust your instinct and do it for the love. And you never know what type of opportunities are going to get presented your way. There's so many people in my life that has told me, especially people that love me, that I know care about me. They're like, are you sure this is what you're supposed to be doing? Don't you think you could be doing this? Don't you think you could be doing that? There's even people I told about this opportunity that they're like, why would you do that? You know, like, it's for bands. They're probably looking for something particular. And ironically, the three groups that they selected or three acts they selected are none of the things that that person told me that they're probably looking for. So, you know, just keep betting on yourself and express yourself, you know?
I do. I appreciate that advice. I appreciate you guys. Honestly, this has been great. And I, like I said, I can't wait to hear all you and meet all you guys and buy your merch, because that's where you're making the money this summer. Buy local merch from local bands who put all this time and effort and art into it. It doesn't get any better than this. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
difference of cry within your eyes. It's a sun that just skins my heart.